At the 1976 Montreal Olympics, the American women's swim team arrived expecting to collect victory after victory after victory. Then they saw the East German swim team.
These East German women came out of nowhere. Their times dropped by dozens of seconds in less than a year.
And for the American women's swim team, the Montreal Olympics turned into a story of defeat after defeat after defeat. That is, until the freestyle relay, the very last race.
Here's the drive to the finish. Babichev hanging on, going for the wall. And Babichev is the winner. The United States is up against Germany.
Has just beat East Germany. I can still remember that moment in 1976. And our guest today, Wendy Bolio, lives in Western Washington. She was part of that team. She's featured in a new documentary about the race called The Last Gold, the greatest untold story in Olympic swimming history. Wendy joined us to talk about what happened 40 years ago this summer and how it changed her life. Wendy Bolio, welcome to The Record.
Bill, thank you so much for having me.
Wendy, I remember those Olympics as a child, and I watched with misty eyes, watched again that final race. The American women's swimming team came into those Olympics with a lot of high hopes, and the expectations were a victory. Your teammate, Shirley Babichev, I remember that name so well. She was like a sort of a Michael Phelps figure, this amazing swimmer. She was just going to get gold after gold after gold. Then what happened?
You know, very first day, I watched Shirley Babichev, Kim Payton, and Jill Sterkel stand up on the blocks in the final of the 100-meter freestyle race, individual race. They were all American record holders at one time. Shirley had been a world record holder in that 100 freestyle individual event. And watch these women take fourth, fifth, and seventh place. And they didn't lose by tenths of a second from the three East German women. They were half a body length, full body lengths ahead of not only us, who were the epitome of U.S. women swimming in the world, to what happened. And that very first day, you went, yep, we're not in Kansas anymore. This is a whole different ballgame.
What did you make of that East German women's team?
23 women. I think the most astounding thing to me was if in comparison with our United States women's swimming team, we averaged age was 16 years old. I was 21, married. But we all had different body types. Little Nicole Kramer from the U.S., 800 freestyle swimmer. She's 5'2", you know, 110 pounds. I'm 6 feet tall, 138 pounds, and everything in between. East German women swimmers were all the same. They were built all the same. They were 5'8", 5'9", about 160 to 175 pounds. Big women, big women. And I'm a pretty big gal. Very muscular. So right away when you saw them, you went, oh, man, how are they swimming and training so much differently than us to be that fast? Never occurred to me that, hey, they're on stuff. There were rumors about that, Bill, but there was no proof of that.
Did you say anything about what you were seeing?
Oh, yeah. I was very vocal because I was pretty ticked off. I mean, and articles came out in the paper. Shirley was called Surly Shirley because she criticized there's something wrong. They've got to be on some kind of performance-enhancing drugs, which at the time was just called steroids. There's no way these women are faster than any of us, including me, meaning Shirley saying that. And I said the same thing. I mean, we were really vocal.
To reporters?
Oh, to everybody. When I came out of my 100-meter butterfly with a bronze medal, an American record, around my neck, and the media, U.S. media, this isn't European media, but my own U.S. media saying, boy, you really got beat. What's going on with the United States women that they're getting beat? And, you know, we heard that every day, all day long.
So you're getting tired of being asked about losing, and so you're telling people, this is crooked. How did people react to you saying that?
Same as the media. You know, we came back from winning an Olympic gold medal, the only gold we won that year, that whole week long, and we didn't come back to a parade. We didn't come back to – God, we went through the airport and people pointing at us and going, bad sports, poor sports.
Because you had dared speak up and say that they're cheating.
Yeah. Articles were written. I mean, articles in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, everywhere in the country that went for about 6 months after we got back from Montreal saying what poor sports we were and these poor East German women. They just trained harder and were just better than you. How ashamed we are to have you as American swimmers. I mean, that's what we came back to. And interestingly enough, all those years later, after the wall came down and all the information was out there, interesting, Bill, I haven't received one apologetic letter from any writer or any person who sent me those personal notes, you know, and articles.
You've said that you're 61 years old.
Please sure? stop saying that.
No, okay, never again. I'll take that back. You seem healthy and vigorous to me. Do you know how your health compares with your East German competitors?
Yeah, I went back to East Germany. Well, it was Germany. 8 years ago, and did it was part of a documentary called Doping for Gold. And so I had the opportunity to interview a lot of the athletes and several of the ones that I competed in Montreal with. And because of the doping that they did, and keep in mind, Bill, they were given these drugs at 11, 12, 13-year-old little girls that altered the way that their body looked and changed from their voice, as simple as their voice, to hair on their bodies, to muscles, to all of that. To swim really, really fast. And then you see them today in the health issues that they have, cancers that weren't even identified 8 years ago by our standards. Their children with club feet, the amount of autism, all of that. I mean, not only their health, but their kids' health. And get this, it's their grandchildren's health too. Because these women that I competed against are about my age. They've had kids who now have had kids. So it's a linear line of their health, and it is not good. It is not good.
I'm talking with Wendy Beaulieu, who was part of the U.S. women's swimming team at the 76 Olympics in Montreal. The American women went to Montreal at the top of their game, fully expecting to be champions. Then they met the swimmers from East Germany, who we've since learned were systematically doped by their government without their knowledge. That was suspected but not proven back in 1976. Wendy, you were in the middle of that controversy as the competition was going on. How did that affect your state of mind as you were competing?
I loved competing. I mean, I grew up, I'm one of seven children. You compete every day in a family of seven, right? So, and I was such a good swimmer younger. And so I had the benefit of having my parents coach me. My father had gone 4 years through World War II as a tank driver. I mean, I had stories in my head that he had told all of us kids. So competition was, it was just what we did. And to me, I loved nothing more than standing on the block knowing that I was the best in the world. And the only way I could be beaten was, you're just going to have to show me. So I honestly couldn't wait to get up there. I really couldn't.
That's fantastic.
I really couldn't.
So you wanted it. I want to talk about this big race, the final race again, 76 Olympics. Your team, you know, this is your chance.
Yeah.
The team has been down. So put me on that block with you. Up to that moment in your life, what had you done to become a champion swimmer?
Growing up in Wisconsin, Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin, my parents were my coaches. Father knew nothing at all about swimming, but he read everything. My mother had been a competitive swimmer until she was 27 years old. One of seven kids. We all had to be athletes in some fashion, baseball, my brother's football, that kind of thing. We found, my younger sister Lori and I found that, God, at swimming, I just loved it. I breathed it. I loved it. I loved the minute I got in the water to this day. And I swim 3-4 times a week. To this day, I love that feeling of just being in the water and then to swim fast. I mean, I trained 15 years in a little 17-yard long pool in a hotel. My mother
in a hotel?
Little hotel pool in Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin, town of 600 people. The closest 25 and 50 meter pool was an hour and a half away. So my mother, you know, I think the thing for my mom and for us kids was my parents found opportunity when nobody thought that there was any. And she looked at the 17 yard long pool that she was a lifeguard at and went, you know, I can teach them all to swim and I can get them in the pool. And who knows, maybe we'll put together a little swimming team here in this little town. And won't that be great? But I think she recognized very early on that my younger sister and I loved it and we were strong. And, you know, there was a point when I was about 11 or 12 that my father, who was an electrical engineer, decided a couple things. She needed more training than just this little 17-yard long pool. Great at the flip turns, but, you know, basically you get four strokes and you're at the end and you flip. So he designed a harness that went around my chest It cabled up to the ceiling of this indoor hotel pool, went over to the side of the pool, cabled down the side of the pool, and they had a plate loading stack of weights. So I could swim in place. So if you picture that, I could swim in place without ever having to do a flip turn. I could go for hours. I used to go for hours. And as I got stronger and got closer to the edge of the pool, he would just put another 5-pound plate on. And that's how I trained for 6 more years. He loved being able to put us in the lake, which was a mile from our home, because then we could, I mean, when you're on a tether like that, your stroke does change. So in the summertime, in middle of May, he and I would walk out and we'd pound a new starting block in, and he had a little lane line, and he marked it off for 50 meters, and that's how I trained. I just couldn't wait to swim. When you got people like that behind you, I couldn't wait.
So back to this amazing race.
Yeah.
I want to play a little clip.
Okay.
So you're getting ready for the race. This is what the audience at home was hearing.
4 times 100-meter freestyle relay. The world record, of course, held by the fantastic East German women. 3 minutes, 48.80.
But you're not watching TV. You're there standing at the edge of that pool. And what's going through your mind?
To me, Bill, there was no way I'm coming out of there without a gold medal. There's just absolutely no way.
This is the final race.
If I have to cough up a lung to do it, I don't care. That's what's going on. And we all had that same attitude. We were ticked off. We were mad. We were, hey, it probably was going to be the last Olympics that I was ever going to have, as well as my teammates. So we each four of us were put in that position. I mean, we were determined.
The American team got this one gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
You got your bronze. But how do you feel about the medals that you didn't win?
Well, we know. We know. I mean, Shirley knows she's got 5 goals. And until the IOC, which doesn't have to do anything. It's its own entity. It's its own little world. It's its own club. They set the rules. They make the rules. They break the rules. It's their deal. They're never going to change that.
How can you possibly be okay with that?
Look, it's never fair. Life is not fair. Sports is not fair. And my attitude is, I just got to keep moving on. And if I had taken the attitude of being very negative out of Montreal and, oh, poor us, honestly, it'd be hard to get out of bed in the morning. Life deals you all kinds of stuff. And I think one of the greatest values that I came out of Montreal with, and it's just reinforced it over the years, is, God, I was so lucky. I was so fortunate to be a part of something so great and actually come out with a medal. But I learned so much through sport. And one of the things I learned right off the bat is life's not fair. It served me well in my life. It has served me well. Doesn't make me not trust people or institutions or companies or presidential candidates. It just makes me go, you know what? Life sucks sometimes, and you just got to step up and make it the best that you can. And that's certainly what I do, my husband does, our kids do, and that's a legacy that I want to pass on to my family.
Wendy Beaulieu lives in Sammamish now. She was part of the 76 Olympic swimming team that's now featured in a new documentary called The Last Gold, the greatest untold story in Olympic swimming history.